We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. Please take your Bibles, if you would, or your device. Open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to be looking at one verse today. We have taken chunks of scripture in this study. Last week I told you that we were going to just kind of take some of these character qualities of love and kind of break them down. So today we're going to be looking at verse 4, and the title is Patient and Kind. Let's take a look at verse 4. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up." Father, I pray today that as you direct our thoughts, help us to learn how to be more patient and to be kinder. We need this. I pray you would teach us through your word today. It's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Love is the more excellent way to minister to each other, is it not? We were talking earlier in this chapter, in verses 1 through 3, last week we said that if you don't have love, all of these things that you might be able to accomplish for the Lord and do good to others is kind of meaningless. If I have not love, he says in verse 1, I become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In verse 2, if I have not love, I am nothing. And in verse 3, even though I might be able to do all these great things, without love, it profits me nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 is not a hymn of love. It's not a sentimental sermon on Christian brotherhood. A lot of times we direct our thoughts, if you ever go to a wedding, a Christian wedding anyway, and you'll hear some, maybe a challenge from 1 Corinthians 13, the kinds of qualities that love is to be producing in our lives, these qualities. This is really an instruction on how best to characterize Christ. Paul's message is clear then that the only way spiritual gifts can be used effectively is when Christians are motivated by love. Most of the issues that Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians, I believe, could have been remedied by exercising love to one another. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to take these verses and just kind of break them down to help us learn a little bit more of these characteristics, these qualities of love. And as we said last week, these verses teach us what Christ looks like. If you were to take these qualities of what love looks like and you would, at the end, recognize that's all about Christ. That's exactly who he is, what he looks like. We should put on Christ, should we not? Be more like him? We're told in Scripture that God's goal for our lives is that we're to be conformed to the image of his Son. So these verses not only describe Christ, but they also describe what we ought to look like as well. Today we want to consider how love suffers long and is kind. Patience and kindness are two of the fruit of the Spirit that we are to welcome into our lives. And as we yield our lives to God, we will be able to show these qualities more clearly. Let's look at the first thing in this text that just stamps out at me is that there's some qualities that we're to be putting on, aren't there? The verse says that we're to, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Now, something I need to point out is that there are perfections. We call them perfections of God. You might hear the word attributes of God. When we use that term, we're trying to describe what God is. There are some attributes or qualities of God that we would never be able to have. Dr. Ryrie points out that the various perfections of God are not component parts of God. He goes on to say that each describe his total being. So, for instance, if we're to say that God is love, that's not all that he is, but love is very much summed up. That's his total being, isn't it? Now, there are obviously some other components that we learn about who God is. God in his total nature is love. Everything he does is done in love. Now, there are certain parts of God's nature that we could never become like. For example, the attributes or the perfections of omnipresence. Now, we always joke about this. It would be nice to be able to be in a couple of places at the same time, wouldn't it? Shake your head no. Because, you know, if you think about it for a second, you think, it'd be kind of nice. I could be at work and I could accomplish some chores at home. And, you know, I could be able to, you know, maybe spend some time on the lake at the same time. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? But then that would catch up to your world, become crazy, wouldn't it, if you could be everywhere at the same time? Think about the demands that are already on your life now. Think about if you were able to be in different places at the same time, how demanding that will. The only person who can pull this off is God. Is God. Omnipotence. Now, who wouldn't want to be all-powerful? You know, you wouldn't need a jack. You just pull the car up, take the wheel off with one hand, it'd be done, right? Omnipotence, all power. All power is given to me, Jesus says in Matthew 28. God is the only one that can pull off all power and not get weary. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't weary. He's all power for you when you need his all power. Amen? Whenever we call on him, he is there to meet those needs that we have with his awesome power. Only God could separate the Red Sea and not allow the children of Israel to go through on mucky soil. God created that ability, not just to part the waters, but also to dry the ground. God thinks of everything in his power. God is also omniscient. He knows everything. I've met some people who think they know everything. Have you? Maybe at times in our lives, we've come off like we think we know everything. But as we pointed out in messages before, we just don't think we know as much as we think we know. Mutability. The ability to not change. That is God's perfection, one of his perfections. If I were God, I would certainly change my mind about a few Christians who I think might not want to go to heaven because they're so ornery, right? Don't we have thoughts of change? I mean, we get into something. Our world is about change. I don't like my car, so I'm going to get a new car. I don't like my house, I'm going to get a new house. I don't like my wife, I'm getting a new wife. That's the kind of things that our world is involved in, though, right? I'm not talking about personally here. Cheryl and I will celebrate 43 years on the 20th, so it's something worth keeping. These perfections, like eternality, I can never become eternal because I had a birth date. I will have a death date, probably, unless the rapture comes, right? Transcendent. Being transcendent. Above his creation. Not a part of it. Not like a pantheist would be a part connected to his creation. But God is over his creation. He created it. And he is ruling over it. Transcendent. These are perfections that only God will be. You can aim at some of these. You can become more, I'm going to say it like this way on purpose. You can become more smarter, but it just proves that we're not all that smart, right? When we start professing ourselves to be wise, Romans 1 says, we become what? Fools. Now, the character traits that God says that we can become more like are these traits known as the fruit of the Spirit. That's part of the qualities that we can actually become better at. Qualities like love, joy, peace. The two that we're looking at here this morning, long-suffering and kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the kinds of qualities that we can put on. And we are to put on, right? So don't become, you know, like God. You can never, and you will never be more like God. But you can be more like His Son through the things known as the fruit of the Spirit. You can become more like Him by fostering these qualities that we're allowed to get better at. I can love more. I can be more joyful. I can be more at peace by trusting God. I can learn to get along with my brothers and sisters in this world by being long-suffering and kind. I can be better at goodness. And I can be more faithful. I can be more gentle. I can certainly exercise more self-control. In the verses we're studying today, we find the qualities of patience and kindness. We can learn to become more patient and even kinder with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think we need that today, especially in the world, the way that things are careening out of control. Christians need to be more patient and kind. Change into Christ's likeness, however, is not something we can do on our own. It's something we can pull off by ourselves. It's a supernatural work, isn't it? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. As we expose ourselves to the Word of God, we read what God wants us to be like, and the Holy Spirit then reveals God's glory to us, what He expects of us and wants and desires of us. And as we spend more time in His Word, we become to learn more what God wants us to become. And so we can then put on His qualities. As we think about this, really God is the best example, right? Of one who is patient and kind. God is patient and kind with us. There's several verses in the Scripture we could point to. One of them that I want to point to is in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, where it tells us that God is described as merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Nehemiah, I don't have this up on the screen, but God is described in Nehemiah 9:17 as gracious and merciful and slow to anger. That's pretty long suffering, isn't it? Can you imagine if God were like me or like you when we reach the pinnacle of our, you know, some of us have a short fuse to our anger. Others have a longer fuse. They're both as sinful, right? If we both lose our cool and both lose our temper, it depends on how long you want to wait before that explosion. But some of us think, well, because I've got a longer fuse, I'm better than you. No, it just took me longer to get there. I still sinned by losing my anger, my temper. If we're to be like Christ, we need to then put on patience and kindness, don't we? Let's take a look at patience, first of all. Patience is a Greek word, hupomi, that means to abide under. To be patient means that we should have a godly attitude toward a variety of subjects or a variety of situations that occur in our life. These situations might involve things like this, suffering mistreatment. I think of in the Old Testament, some of the people of God. I think in the New Testament, some of the apostles and the workers of God that was suffering mistreatment by evil forces against them. I think about Christians today who live maybe in a country who isn't as free to exercise religion. They're Christians that are literally being killed for their faith in other countries, other part of the world. So we can think what suffering mistreatment might look like. Maybe you're teased at work. Maybe there are family members, since you've been saved, that turn a different attitude toward you. We also have to deal with angry or impatient people, probably on a daily basis, right? Maybe your job has a whole lot of them, and you just are so thankful to the Lord that you can go home at night. right? And have a place of peace and quiet. But deal, and maybe even dealing with angry, impatient people there, right? Your children, your husband, your wife, there's things like that, in-laws or outlaws, as some of them might be called. Moving through trials or afflictions is one way that we have to have a godly attitude toward that situation, because all of us are going to go through some kind of trial in our life. And we need to learn to be patient under that and waiting on God. How many of you ever prayed and asked God for something and you're waiting still? Maybe you're praying for the salvation of someone. You've been praying for a long time. Don't give up. Keep it up. Keep praying. Keep trusting. God is the doer of those things if it's His will. One demonstrates patience by a variety of ways as well. We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 that we're to be kindly affectioned to one another. And in these trying situations that we're involved in, we need to learn how to be kindly affectionate to one another. In verse 12 of that same chapter, the Bible says we're to be patient in tribulation. We're to have patience in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, showing tolerance for one another, as the Bible points out, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Paul described the various aspects of expressions of love in chapter 13 here in 1 Corinthians, and he begins with this verse 4 that says, love suffers long. Love is patient. If we have a genuine, outgoing, caring love for another person, we will be patient with them, right? You have a tendency to give that person you love a little more grace than someone that's just trying to butt in line at the store, right? We have to exercise a little more patience with those that we love. In fact, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, that we're to be patient with everyone. Yeah, right. Paul, where in the world were you living? How can we pull this off, right? Well, it's an exercise that we need to be learning how to do, right? If we want to be more like Christ, we got to be patient. And then he also tells Timothy in this passage in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, he told him to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with great patience and instruction. Preaching is probably the easiest part of ministry. Well, you got some preparation to go with it, but delivering the message isn't all that difficult unless you miss a few words. And, you know, I'm reminded occasionally that, you know, what were you saying? You know, try to explain that. Those things happen. But dealing with people is, I read one pastoral guidebook where it says ministry would be great if it weren't for all the people. It's like, wait a minute, that's why you go in the ministry, is for all the people, right? To lead and guide them. And, you know, God calls us shepherd or sheep, right? He is the shepherd, we're the sheep. And if you've ever been around sheep, you know, they can be sometimes, you can lead them and sometimes they will follow. Paul's prayer for the Colossians saints was his desire that they would be patient. And I think if Paul were to be available to us today, I believe that he would also pray that we would attain all steadfastness and patience today in our world for us as believers. I believe patience is a virtue worth working for. I really believe. I believe that we should be more patient. Now, Paul continues to add that we are not only to be love, suffer long, but kind in verse 4. And kindness is a word that means to be good of heart. Kindness has been defined as the sincere desire for the happiness of others. That's kindness. No, you go first. Have you ever been in a doorway like that? And everybody who wants to be kind, it's the backlog and nobody can go in because they're all trying to wait for each other. At some point, somebody just has to take the lead and go. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we're saved. We're saved to do good works. We're not saved by our good works. We all know that. But because we're saved, we've been given this command or this the process of our lives then is to be doing those good works that God prepared in advance for us to do them. Jerry Bridges wrote in one of his books, I think it's The Practice of Godliness. I love what he quoted here. He goes, most of the opportunities for doing good come across the ordinary path of our day. He says, don't look for the spectacular. Now, he added some things there I didn't get on the screen. Few people, he says, ever have the opportunity to pull a victim from the wreckage. So we might be looking for the big thing, right? I'll be kind by stopping along the side of the road and pulling somebody from the burning wreckage. You know, you could get your name in lights, right? You might also get hit. So we have to be careful when we're doing stuff like that. But he goes on to say, all of us have the opportunity to administer the kind or the encouraging word. Isn't that spectacular? He goes on to say, to do the little, perhaps the unseen deed that makes life more pleasant for someone else. That is kindness. The scriptures tell us how we can demonstrate kindness by expressing kindness to other people. That is more important, God says, than sacrifice. In Hosea 6:6, God tells the people of Israel, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And sometimes the Israelites were just performing a duty in their sacrifice. They were just doing it to do it. Get it over with, right? And yet God was wanting them to be more sincere in their lifestyle, to be merciful to people rather than just always come to the altar for sacrifice. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, one of the things that God desires of us, what is it that you're to do, O man? He is to love mercy. To love mercy, to be kind, right? To be children of the Most High, as children of God, we're to exhibit kindness and mercy with our lives. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36, I'm just paraphrasing these verses here, where it says in the early command is to do good. And then the Lord goes on to say, therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So we're to look like Him, act like Him, desire to be like Him. This direct command from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, where he's talking about that we're to be forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. And be you kind, be kind to one another. That's a direct command to be kind. Well, we shouldn't miss that, should we? Forgiveness actually is showing kindness, isn't it? I let you off the hook because I'm forgiving you because Christ forgave me. And the apostle, kindness is found in the list of Christian virtues. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and one's put in here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as well, that we're to become more like. One of the books that I have in my library is written by Alexander Strock. He wrote the 15 Descriptions of Love book. It's a very thin book, but a very powerful, really cool book. He says, if we want to reach and influence people for Jesus Christ, we must cultivate a kindly disposition. He says, acts of kindness impact people in big ways. You want to reach somebody for Christ? You want to reach your neighbor for the Lord? You be kind. It gives you an audience, doesn't it? It's better than just going in and just, you know, clubbing them with the word. Being patient and kind is certainly the more excellent way. That Paul talked to us here in chapter 12, verse 31. He's going to show us a more excellent way. We need to think about love, being patient and kind. There are obviously in this verse, in verse 4, some items to cast off, some things that we should not have part of our character. He goes on, not just love suffers long in verse 4 and is kind, but notice, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. These are some things that should not be a part of our life, right? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. David Garland observes that the problem was necessarily not in the church in Corinth, but that too much of Corinth was in the church. We can look at that in the world today, that it's not necessarily a church problem. It's that we've allowed the world to come into our church. We've adopted some of the ways of the world through our ministries and the way we interact with one another. We're to be more like Christ, not more like the world, just watered down a little bit. We need to be more like Jesus. In the book of Revelation, Jesus calls out five of the seven churches to repent because of one thing or another that they were doing. Some of them weren't egregiously wrong. Some of them were just needed to repent because of the direction that they were heading was not good, and God wanted them to turn back around. The church in Corinth here, I believe, needs to repent of their worldly attitudes and their belief systems that they've adopted from Corinth and trying to behave that way. I wonder if Airport Boulevard needs to repent of any of these things. Do you think? Now, these believers were not all bad, but there were some who were definitely had issues that needed to be changed. And I think that hearing from a couple of evangelists in my life, my dad being one of them, he would always say, if the shoe fits, wear it, right? In other words, if this is something that you're seeing in your life as something that needs to be changed, we need to change that. You know what we don't have to learn how to do? We don't have to learn how to be envious, arrogant, or proud. We don't have to learn those things. Arrogance, envy, are works of the flesh. They're given to us by the old nature, and we literally need to identify them, and we need to stomp out envy and pride, don't we? Get them out of our lives. Envy is incompatible with love. Why? Because envy destroys love. Envy makes us resentful of someone else's good fortune. It covets others' gifts or possessions or even positions of influence. Envy allows us to become critical. Envy should not be a part of our character, should it? Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love is not boastful, it says in the Christian Standard Bible. That's pretty direct, it's not boastful. Someone who is boastful is one who craves attention. Look at me! They want others to praise their abilities, their knowledge, their success, and get this, even their sufferings for Jesus. Look, what a great Christian I am. They speak too highly of themselves. Boastful people do. Strock says of the Corinthian believers, they were full of themselves and not full of love. That's a problem, isn't it? It can be a real problem. He points out that braggarts build themselves up. Jealous people tear each other down, but loving people build each other up. We need more love. Not only in the church, obviously we need it in the world, but where is it going to need to start? It needs to start here, doesn't it? We need to be able to practice it here so that we can practice it well beyond these walls. In Galatians chapter 5, the command is issued for the believers to walk in the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians 5 that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the works of the flesh. Do not allow the sins of envy and pride to rule your life and eventually ruin your life. Become more patient and kind, like the Word of God tells us to do. So that leads us to the how-to phase, because we can't just say, you know, you need to be patient and kind, and we need to cast off these things that are envious and proud in our life, and we leave you with, how do I do it? Because, you know, the bookstores are filled with how-tos, aren't there? You know, you can go to the bookstore and find a how-to, how to, you know, I love these books where it's how-to for dummies. Have you ever seen that section? How-to for dummies. Well, I'm not saying that you're dummies, but here we go. How can I be patient? I've got it in yellow, little highlight. First of all, let's consider how can I be patient. I'm going to tell you before I get started on these verses that this is probably why we're not asking God to help us be patient. Here's the first one. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, tribulation produces patience. Listen to this one. James 1, 3 says, the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, why do you think Christians aren't patient? We're not asking for patience because we know the process, right? We know that if we ask God to help us be patient, he's going to give us somebody that's just going to be like a burr under the saddle and just rub us all day long. Thank you, Lord, for that trial. I'm more patient now. No, the Lord's saying, no, actually, you're really not. You need another burr, right? We need more tribulation and more testing of our faith to give us that end of perseverance and patience. If you take a look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we learn how patience is one of these qualities that we're to put on. Listen to this list. Starting in verse 5, he says, he's going through the precious promises that were given to us, that we've escaped the corruption through the world through lust, in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. That's a fancy word for patience. To perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly kindness love. Listen to verse 8. If these things are yours and abound in you, he goes on to say, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need that component in our life, don't we? We need patience to come and roost in our life. How do we develop patience? We learn from examples, not only in Scripture, but we could also learn from one another as well. But we're reminded as we study these examples in the Bible of ones who are patient, we can maybe pattern our lives after them. Job was patient. James 5:11 tells us that. It says, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, the perseverance of Job, right? We've heard of him. Yeah, we've heard of him. And you know how Job earned some of his patience? Chapter 1. Go and read Job 1, and you'll discover how Job developed patience. I think he had a little good handle on it before, but during the processes of all those trials that he went through, certainly beefed it up, didn't it? Because later he has a few friends stop over and tell him how bad he was. He needed patience. Abraham was patient. I read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15, that when God made a promise to Abraham, it says, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Well, patiently endured means his whole life. His whole life. God had promised him in Genesis chapter 12 and reiterated that promise in chapter 15 that he would have as many children as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea on the beach. And yet, when he died, he and his wife Sarah had one child. That was the promise of God. Well, yeah, they had two, but it wasn't hers and his. But Abraham was patient with God. He had to patiently endure to obtain the promise. That doesn't mean that there was a time in his life when he ran ahead of God. Don't we all do that? Aren't we all guilty of God is taking too long here? Why isn't he answering my prayer? Remember, one of the things that we talked about was waiting on God was a part of our needing to be patient. Other believers were patient. Paul praises the saints in Thessalonica because he remembers their patience of hope. And we need to be more patient. Can you learn to be more patient? Will you pray for patience? You know, that's the big question, isn't it? Well, let's look at kindness. Let's get off that patience thing because that's a little scary, right? I don't really want God to maybe endure temptations or trials or afflictions in my life so I can be patient. Let's ask about being kind. How can I be kind? Well, kindness is just, remember how we are kind, that we want the best for others, right? Well, I can be kind by demonstrating kindness to others. If you need a demonstration of what kindness looks like, the most innocent examples are little children. They are loving, careful buddies. Unless they've been trained otherwise, children are full of love. Unless they've been trained otherwise, children don't see the differences that we see as adults, do they? Unless they've been trained otherwise, they're kind. They care. So we can demonstrate kindness to others by being like little children. Hold the door open for someone. See what kind of response you'll get. It's varied, I can guarantee you. But showing genuine love to others is a way to demonstrate kindness. Genuine love. By placing others over us. In other words, that we esteem them better than ourselves. And by showing mercy and grace to others. Found a really wonderful example of kindness in Acts chapter 28, when there was a shipwreck off the coast of Malta, and they were going to the island of Malta. And it tells us about how they landed there on the island in verse 1. And it says in verse 2, listen to this, and then in Acts chapter 28, verse 2, Paul is saying, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. He said they showed us unusual kindness. That doesn't sound like it's unusual, right? Somebody's cold. Need some shelter from the rain. They've had a shipwreck. They've all been saved. They all escaped safely in the last verse of chapter 27. They came to shore, and these natives, instead of just looking at them going, "What? What do you want?" They built them a fire, and they gave them some shelter. That's like a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, isn't it? Showing kindness. The apostle remembered that the kindness that was shown them, that he wrote about it for us to remind us how wonderful of an example that is. Don't forget about Bridges' example in his text earlier when we were talking about don't look for the spectacular. Well, that was kind of the spectacular, although they didn't swim out and pull them in from the waters. They were just waiting for the opportunity to administer the kind or encouraging word. Here, there's a fire. Come get warm. Here's shelter. Get out of the rain. It's not really all that difficult to be kind then, is it? Maybe we've learned the wrong way to exercise our love. Maybe instead of being kind, we've been told to just stay away. Not exercise kindness and patience with people. Maybe we've just been fed up with this world too much where we're not looking like Jesus at all anymore. And we need to exercise patience and kindness. We have received much grace from God, have we not? He has been so good to us that we can actually offer the kindness and grace to others as well. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. Some questions that we need to answer before we can move off of this message today, though. Do you want to be patient and kind? I think that's a great question, because it depends on your answer whether or not you will be more patient and kinder, right? If we have a desire, I know the scripture says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Needs sometimes, yeah, I want to be more patient and kind. Get out of my way! Right? And we've just blown both accounts on that, right? We're kind of rude. But the thing is, if the answer is yes, I think the next question comes, is the price to obtain these qualities worth it? If tribulation is the only way to get patience, will I be willing to go through those tests of my faith so I can come out on the other end more patient? If people in my life are driving me from kindness, I need to have a real talk with the Lord about my soul and be kinder. In his book, Practice of Godliness, Jerry Bridges writes, trials always change our relationship with God. He says they will either drive us to him or drive us away from him. So in the process of all these tests that we go through to earn these qualities that we're to put onto our life, sometimes we think, this is not worth it, right? And we go back to that old sinful nature of being envious, proud, and arrogant. May it be said of us that we're always doing good and helping others. Lord, I think a prayer that we all should pray. Help me to be kind. Help me to be patient for your sake. Father, I pray that this message today would hit home in all of our lives. We all need to be patient and kind. We have a wonderful example in our Savior, Jesus. God has been described as patient, a long-suffering God who shows mercy. And he desires that of all of us. Lord, if there's one thing that we can take out of this message today is that we've got some work to do. And I pray that we would not just hear this message and say, that was a really good message. But Lord, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts some areas in our lives that we really need to step it up. That we don't just have the admission that we've need some more work, but Lord, that we would follow through with that work and we would do what you want us to do so that we can become patient and kind, just like you are. Exhibit the fruit of the Spirit the way you would want us to. And I pray you would impress us on our minds and hearts that need and follow through with those steps. We might be tested before we leave this building. We might run into somebody this week that will test our abilities to exhibit these qualities. But I pray, Lord, help us to pass the test. Help us to grow in these qualities, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.